I believe that the Lord has something special in store for us. And I have desired, it's been on my heart for several weeks to have a communion service. And this morning we are going to be partaking of communion. And before we get into the word, I just want you to know I have felt a special urgency on my heart for this service, for this communion service. And so I think the Lord has something special in mind for us. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to read a couple of verses from the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be reading, first of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. And then we're also going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But if you will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin with verse number 23 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This, of course, is the Apostle Paul, who is writing to the church in Corinth, and he writes and he says in chapter 11, verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner, he took also the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.' For as oft, listen carefully, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So I want you now to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 16. Again, Paul writing, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, we are delighted. We are delighted this morning that we have opportunity to gather here in your name. We are thankful that we have felt the touch of your Holy Spirit amongst us. We are thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, that Christ is on the throne. We are thankful this morning, Lord, that we have opportunity to come and to give praise and to give thanks unto his name. This morning, Lord, as we come to the reading of your word and the delivery of the word that you have placed upon my heart, I pray this morning, Father, that you would bless me to be a blessing. Of my own self, I am inadequate. Help me and enable me, anoint me to be an effective minister of the word of the living God. I pray, Father, that you would put your word in my mind, in my heart, and in my mouth. Let the words that are spoken this morning in this place, let them come forth under your anointing and empowered by your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts, enlighten our hearts, and bring revelation to our spirit, revelation, understanding in our heart. Help me to minister on every level, from every level where each one may receive and hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Bless us to be a blessing. Let Jesus Christ be glorified, and let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. We ask them this morning in the mighty and awesome, wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. I want to title my message this morning, A Fourfold Look at Communion. A Fourfold Look at Communion. The text that we have read was written by the Apostle Paul. He writes it to the Corinthian church, and he writes to them concerning how we are to approach the partaking of the Lord's Supper. He writes to them and he tells them how we should approach the partaking of communion. And we are instructed in the word that the Lord's Supper is to be a memorial. Jesus himself, the night that he was to be crucified, said to the disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." We are instructed by Paul here in the text that we've read that we are not to take communion carelessly, recklessly, or with a reckless attitude, but that we are to approach the table of the Lord in a thoughtful and in a caring way, with an anticipation and an appreciation for what it stands for and what it symbolizes. This morning, as we are about to partake of the Holy Sacrament in this service, I want to share with you some of the thoughts that both Jesus and the Apostle Paul wanted to keep us or put us in remembrance of, amen, before we receive the Lord's Supper. You will find the narrative in Luke chapter 22, and if you desire to turn there, I will give you just a few moments to do so. But you will find the narrative in Luke chapter 22. The Bible said that the night that Jesus was to be crucified, that he gathered his disciples together to eat the Passover. He sends the disciples into the city and he tells them, "There you will find a man that is carrying a pitcher of water upon his shoulder. Ask that man, where will the master and his disciples eat the Passover? And he will show you," Jesus said. "He will show you a large furnished upper room, and there prepare the meal." If you're there in Luke chapter 22, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, I don't know what translation you're reading this morning, but I want those two words to just kind of stick in your spirit. He said, "This is my body which is given and which shall be broken for you." Everybody say, "For you." For you. And then likewise, verse number 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." For you. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is that communion is not just some outdated tradition of the church. Communion is not just for a select few and not for others. Communion is not for just the wealthy or the wise. It is not for just the powerful and the influential. It is not for just the learned theologian or those who are scripturally knowledgeable. Amen. But I want you to know something. It is for you. It is for you. It is for me. It is for all of us. It is for the imperfect and the struggling. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? I mean, some folks come to church and we sit up in the house of the Lord and look like we're John the Baptist and we ain't got a care in the world, but I know some of us are struggling. And I got good news. It's for the struggling. It's for the imperfect. It's for the hungry. It's for those that desire to make Christ Lord of their life. It's for the poor. It's for the powerless. It's for those of us who haven't got it all figured out. Hello? Anybody here this morning got it all figured out? Amen. I'll just give you some words from the Apostle Paul. He said, "If a man thinks himself to know something, let that man know that he don't know it like he ought to know it." Hello? I have said, and I will be the first one to tell you this morning, amen, the more I know, the more I realize my need to know. The more I know, the more I understand that I really don't know. Hello? Why? Because it's deep and it's wide and it's broad and it's high. Amen. And it's bigger than anything that our finite mind can get a hold of. Oh, the depth and the wonder and the mystery of God. But it's not for the theologian. It's not for those, amen, that think they got it all together, know everything. No, it's for those that are still trying to figure it out. It's for those who are still learning. Put me at the head of the line. When you talk about communion, you hear a lot of fancy religious words. Holy sacrament. Eucharist. What? Trust me. But the two most important words that are ever spoken about communion are the two little words that Jesus said, "For you." Not just me, not just the elders, but for you, for you, for you, for you. For those who are struggling and those that haven't got it all figured out and those who, amen, are facing circumstances and situations that they feel powerless about, amen, it's for you. You can put all kinds of fancy words upon it, but the most important words this morning that I want you to understand is that Jesus gave this ceremony for you, for me. Remember those two words. When we come and we begin to gather to partake of the communion of the Lord, remember that it's for you. It's for you. This is my body, he said, given for you. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And with that in the forefront of our mind this morning, I want to take a look at four things that are in our text. Four things that are in our text that I believe that we need to look to or look at. A fourfold look at communion. Number one, I believe, first of all, number one, we need to look back. Look back. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Pastor Gary, the Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, have pressed toward the mark of the prize. I know. Amen. Listen, I'm not talking about looking back at our failures or looking back at even our successes. I'm talking about looking back and seeing what the Lord has done for us. Looking back and looking to the cross. Look at verse number 26 here in our text in Corinthians 11 and 26. This is what Paul said. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. The God's Word translation says every time that you eat this bread and every time that you partake of this cup, you are telling about the death of Christ. You are telling, there's another translation that says, amen, that it means that we are retelling the message of the Lord's death. We are declaring to the world that he died for us. It is a simple act of obedience, of the receiving of the bread and the cup of communion, but they are a way of pointing out, amen, pointing to ourselves and pointing others to the cross of Calvary. I believe that the first look needs to be at looking back at what he did for us. When I look back at the cross, I am reminded of the Lord's sacrifice. When I look back at the cross, I am reminded of how that he unselfishly gave himself that we might have an atonement for our sins. I am reminded of how that he unselfishly and completely laid down his life for us. If you go back into the scriptures and you begin to read about that night, you can read about the night that he knew that he would be arrested. He knew that he could have called 10,000 angels and never had to go through with it. He knew that one word, in fact, when they came to arrest him, he said, who do you look for? And they said, we're looking for this Jesus. And he said, I am he. And they all fell down backward. Just simply because he spoke, I am. He could have called 10,000 angels. How many of you know what one angel can do in one night? Well, you can read in 2 Kings that one angel in one night killed over 185,000 people, amen, and set the people of God free. One angel. He could have called 10,000 of them. He said on the cross, 12 legion of angels. Well, if you do the math, I'll tell you right now, he didn't have to go through with it. He could have delivered himself with one word. And yet, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he knew his mission and his purpose was to fulfill the Father's will. And there in the garden that night, he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless, not as I wish, but oh God, your will be done. I can see it in my mind as I look back and I look over the scriptures. The Bible says that he was arrested and they pulled the hair of his beard and plucked the beard from his face and smote him and spat upon him. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I'd had the wherewithal to just overlook some of that. Can you say amen? My wife and I were headed to town one day and we stopped at a stoplight. A couple of young guys up in front of us and the light turned green. And they just sat there. They were preoccupied. So I honked the horn. One of them spun around and flipped me the bird. And I looked at my wife and I said, "That boy better be thankful I'm saved." Because there was a day when I would have run him down. They spat upon him. They slapped him and beat him and mocked him. And the Roman soldiers whipped him until he was not even recognizable. Until the blood ran down his back and his internal organs were shining through the back of his flesh. Amen. Brutally betrayed, brutally nailed to a cross, and there he hung between heaven and earth, not for anything that he had done, but because of what I have done, because of what you have done. He hung there not for his iniquity. He hung there not for his sin. He hung there not because of his unrighteousness, but he hung there to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. Amen. And to give us the righteousness of God in Christ. And when I look back, amen, when I look back at Calvary and I remember what he did for me, amen. When I look back, I am humbled to my innermost being. I am humbled that God would consider a wretch such as I and would come down and show his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die for us so that we might have eternal life. This morning, as we partake of the bread and we partake of the cup, we need to look back and remember what it was that he did for us. Oh, thank God he set us free. Thank God that I'm no longer, amen, bound by the sin and the wages of sin. But thank God my soul has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And when we partake of the bread and the blood, this symbolic memorial, we need to look back and remember what it was that he did for us. And look back and remember where he brought us from, what he has done in our lives. And when we partake, we are retelling, we are testifying, we are resharing the story of the Lord's death, that he has died for us. Secondly, I believe that we need to look within. Look within. Look back and look within. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 27 and verse number 28. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, if you come to this meal, you come to this partaking of this sacred sacrament flippantly, carelessly, unappreciatingly, amen. Really, what he is saying is you are just as guilty as those that stood around the foot of the cross and mocked him and were in agreement with his crucifixion. You are just as guilty of the body and the blood. Look at verse 28. He said, but let a man examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There is another translation that says a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking of the cup. We need to look within, examine ourselves carefully, examine our hearts carefully. What do we see when we look on the inside? What do we see when we look at our heart? What are we doing with our lives? How are we living? Are we striving for holiness? Are we walking in love? Are we walking in obedience? Have we put Christ first in our life? And are we totally committed unto Him? Are we committed to His service? And are we striving to please Him in every way that we can? This morning, I challenge you, look on the heart and look within your heart this morning. Amen. And be honest with yourself. Maybe there are some things that need to be brought before the Lord before we partake of this blessed sacrament. Examine ourselves. Be honest with ourselves. When God looks upon our heart, what does He see? Did you know that Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's easy for us oftentimes to mask what's really on the inside. We learn the lingo. We learn when to hold our hand up and when to put it down, when to shout amen. And then when to give the preacher the Pentecostal stare, right? I mean, we learn all those things, but what's really on the heart? Jesus said of the Pharisees, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We examine ourselves and look on the inside. What does God see when He looks all the way into our heart? The Bible said that God does not look on the outward as men look upon the outward, but God looks and He judges and He weighs the motives of our heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not about how we look. It's about what our motives are and what's really on the inside. Jesus told the story one day of a Pharisee and a wretched sinner. And they both went to prayer. They had very different prayers. The Pharisee said, "Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like that guy. I'm glad that I worship. I'm glad that I pay tithe. I'm glad that I'm not like he is." And the Bible said that the sinner, all he could do was just say, "Lord, have mercy upon me," and smite his chest. "Have mercy upon me, a dreadful sinner." And Jesus said, guess which one of them went home justified? Guess which one of them went home justified in the sight of God? Amen. What does the Lord see when He looks on the inside? If we are honest with ourselves, beloved, I think sometimes when we look on the inside, we can see some things that ought not to be in our life. Some things like envy and, amen, and pride and lust. And we can look on the inside and see some things that need to be cleaned up, cleared up, and put under the blood. Self-evaluation. Recently, I read an article that the state of Arizona, in Tucson, Arizona, put a sign over a full-length mirror for those who were hunting jobs at the job service. And the sign over the full-length mirror said, "Would you hire this person?" What's the meaning? Self-evaluation. Take a good look. Amen. Take a good look. We like to mask things and we like to, amen, tuck things away. But I'm going to tell you, God sees everything. Self-evaluation is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's saying that believers in Christ need to judge themselves in order to avoid being judged by the Lord. If we would just simply judge ourselves, amen, and be honest with ourselves, the Lord wouldn't have to correct us as often as he does. Maybe I should duck to preach that part. Hello? But if we would just simply be honest with ourselves, maybe the Lord wouldn't have to give us quite so many spankings. Can you say amen? Look on the inside. Look back. Look within. Look on the inside. And number three, look around. Look around us. Look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 17. I love this. And this look, this third look that I'm talking about is looking around us. We look back, we look within, and we look around us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17 said, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the body of Christ." We are all partakers of that bread, that communion bread. Again, let me share another translation with you. It says, "For though we are many, we are one bread and one body, for we have all been partakers of that bread, that communion bread." What does it mean? It means that we are made one in him. We become one body. We become jointly fit together. We become jointly fit as one unit when we observe the communion bread and we observe the communion commandment of the Lord. I thought about this as I was studying for this message and preparing for this message, and I thought to myself, as I look around this room and I look at the lives of those that are here in the service of the Lord, think about it. We are one in him. We are one in him. I thank God for you. You are my church family. I give thanks unto God for your service unto the Lord. No man is an island unto himself. We need one another. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9 that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Amen. Verse 10 said, "For if they fall, one will lift his fellow up. But woe unto him that is left alone when he falls, for he has no one, amen, to help him up." I'm here to tell you this morning that we need one another. We are all part of the same body. We may not all have the same function, but we are all part of the same body nonetheless. You inspire me. When I see Sister Bonnie and Doris and Christy and Rosie and the other individuals that help in the children's church, and when they take all of the little ones back there to teach them about the Lord, I am inspired by their service. I am inspired by what they do and their faithfulness to it, to the ministry and the calling. When I see my son Houston working with his music and the Lord beginning to use him in the ministry of the word, I am blessed and I am inspired, amen, that God has laid it upon his heart, amen, to bless others. When Sandy preaches for us, amen, what God impresses upon her heart, she encourages me and she inspires me through the message and the words that God gives her. I look at Pastor Tom Olson, a man of God, and Brother Dean, who's not here this morning, and his wife, amen, and the faithful years that they have served the Lord, and they inspire me to rise up and keep going on for God. Hallelujah. When I see you bring your children into the house of the Lord, It inspires me to believe that when I am dead and gone, another generation will rise up and say, thus saith the Lord, in a dark world. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, we are all part of that body. You inspire me. You bless me. You encourage me. I hope that I encourage you. I hope that I instruct and give wise counsel to you. But let me just share with you this morning. We may not all be the eye. We may not all be the ear. We may not all be the foot. But we are all part of the body. No, I had this image. If we were all the eye, this big cyclops looking eyeball coming down the road. No, but we are jointly fit together, and what joins us together, the body and the blood of Christ. We are one in Him. Do you remember that Jesus prayed, Father, make me and them one, even as you and I are one. We are one in Him. And when we partake of this sacred sacrament, we should be reminded that we are part of one another, and we need to hold one another up, even when we are going through trials, and lift our brothers and our sisters in the Lord up. Amen. When they're hurting, we weep with them. When they rejoice, we rejoice with them. We are family. We are His body. You sharpen me. You encourage me. You strengthen me. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17 said that iron sharpens iron. So one man or woman sharpens another. We are partakers of the blood and the body of Christ. And when we partake of this holy sacrament, it makes us one in Him. Look back. Look in. Look within, examine, and look around. We are not left alone. That's why it is so important to get connected to a body of believers. I've heard people say, well, I can live for Jesus and not go to church. I believe that. I believe that. But let me just tell you something. When you're connected with a body of believers, it helps strengthen you. I've used this illustration many times. Cut a limb off of a tree and lay it over in the yard. And which one dies, the tree or the limb? Well, it may not happen day after tomorrow, but it's not connected to anything. We encourage one another. We fellowship with one another. We lift one another up. We encourage one another. We sharpen one another. We bless one another. We encourage one another. Amen. I'm here to tell you, we need one another. We need each other. Say, well, I don't want to go to church where there's a lot of hypocrites. That's like saying I don't want to go to the gym because there's a lot of fat people. Hello? And I need to go to the gym. But I can tell you right now, it ain't gonna happen. That's my New Year's resolution. And I keep mine, bless the Lord. We need each other. We need each other. Well, the church is full of hypocrites. You know why? Because there's a lot of broken, hurting people in the church looking for help. Amen. People may hurt you in the church. I've been hurt in the church. It's not God's fault. Hello? Not God's fault. People are people. People will let you down. People will mess you up. People will hurt you. But just keep yourself anchored in Christ. Keep your heart right with the Lord. Don't allow a root of bitterness to get down on the inside and begin to grow. Just keep on loving God and keep on living for God and keep on striving to do the right thing. We need each other. Look back, look within, look around, and finally, look ahead. This morning, as we partake of communion, I want you to get a vision of what is ahead. You mean ahead in 2016? No. It might be 2016, but that's not the ahead I'm talking about. I want you to remember we are just pilgrims passing through this land. This world is not our home. This is not all that there is. Look ahead. Look ahead. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. This morning, as we partake of the communion of the bread and the blood, look ahead, because the Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. Amen. He is coming for a church that is without spot and without wrinkle. He is coming for a bride that has prepared themselves and who is waiting and watching. And he is looking for a people that are ready to go up when the trumpet of God sounds. Amen. This world is not our home. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. This world is not all there is. Amen. In this world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation and you'll experience disappointment. Hey, but he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And brother, I'm telling you, there's coming a day and a moment when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we are going home. Hallelujah. And all I could think of when I was studying and putting notes together for the service when I got to this point was, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. Look around the world this morning. It's coming soon. He is coming soon. He said, when you partake of this cup and this bread, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Beloved, we need to not just look back and look within and look around, but we need to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Our redemption is drawing nigh. The Lord is coming again. Would you bow your heads, please, this morning as we prepare to receive communion? Bow your heads and let us pray. And then I'm going to ask the elders to come. Brother Jim, would you come? Brother Chuck, blessed be the name of our God. As they are coming and they are preparing, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I'm so grateful this morning for Jesus. I'm so grateful for a thing called grace. I'm so thankful for your love, your mercy, and your goodness to usward. Thank you that it is not of our works, but thank you that it is a free and freely given gift of God. Our salvation comes to us by the redeeming and the atoning work of Jesus. This morning, oh God, as we prepare to partake of the communion, that you desired of us to partake in remembrance of you. Help us to look back at all that you did for us, all that you continue to do for us. Help us to look within and recognize that we need to bring some things to the altar of repentance. We need to acknowledge some things that already are exposed to you. Help us to look around at our brothers and sisters who are part of our family and the family of God, who encourage us and strengthen us and cheer us on as we run this race. And help us to look up and understand that there is a bright future for the child of God who is redeemed. Speak to our spirits and speak to our hearts here this day, I ask, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to ask our elder Jim and Brother Chuck if they will just begin to pass out the communion. I've got some for everybody here, brother. Thank you. As they are passing it out, heads are bowed, and we are just reflectively examining our heart. It's for you. It is for you. He did this for you. His body was broken for you. His blood was spilled. His blood was shed for you. Let us look at what he has done. Look within and say, Lord, is there anything in my heart, anything in my life that would be displeasing? I bring it to you now, Jesus. I bring it to you now, and I confess my sin. I confess what I have harbored in my heart. I lay it at your feet, and I pray for your mercy and your grace to forgive me. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just spend a few moments as they continue to pass this out in a reflective way before the Lord, and let God speak to your heart. You say, Pastor Gary, I don't have it all together. He doesn't expect you to have it all together. He expects you to come and allow him to work and operate in your life. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my brothers. I appreciate your help. Let me read the scriptures this morning from Luke chapter 22. Jesus takes the cup and gives thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then that night he takes the bread and he gives thanks and he breaks it. That breaking of the bread was symbolic of his body being broken, bruised and smitten and torn apart. And he says, this is my body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. All of you across the congregation this morning, would you receive the wafer that represents the body of the Lord? Sweet Jesus. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Would you join with me as we partake of the content of the cup? I would ask this morning that you just bow your head and give thanks unto the Lord. My Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for His grace, for His long suffering and His gentle nature toward me. To think that a king would die in my place. Lord, I yield all that I am, all that I will ever be. I yield it to your will and to your service. Wash me in that blood. Cleanse me from all sin. Let the broken body of Jesus Christ, that by His stripes we're healed, let every infirmity be healed. Those who are sitting here in this congregation this morning that are afflicted and infirmed in their body with sickness, we plead the blood. We thank you for the stripes that He took for our healing, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Let every infirmity be made whole. I ask in the name of the Lord. I thank you for this opportunity, O God, to share this holy sacrament with these who are here this morning, that we may put ourselves in remembrance of you. Be glorified among your people. You said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And indeed, you were lifted up upon the cross. And this morning, we elevate and exalt and lift you up. Draw hearts and lives closer to you, I pray. In the precious and blessed name of Jesus, we ask it. In His mighty name, amen.